Welcome here. Welcome to those that are visiting. I need everybody to take a deep breath and smell, because you can smell lunch, and we are all looking forward to that. But I hope you're also looking forward to what God's going to do during this service this morning as well. So just continue to worship with us this morning.
Thanks to the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm,
His love endures forever.
shake hands with those around you, and then you may be seated.
Who are you waving at?
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see a full house here today. We have a double whammy here today with Thanksgiving and with baptism. And so I'm guessing there's a lot of students home today and family returning over Thanksgiving and a lot of people here to support their family members being baptized today. So if you can control the salivating today, I'll make a couple notes. There's no sneaking out early for lineup. We will lock the doors if we have to. So stick around for the whole service. Yeah, if you have a cold today, count that as a blessing. We do have a few announcements today. So I brought a little helper today. You want to tell me something that he's thankful for?
I'm thankful for turkey.
Yeah, that's not right. Did you want to see your Bible verse? Now, he learned a Bible verse at Vacation Bible School, and he's been dying to say it.
John, now you are my friend, John 15:15.
Good job. Okay, so I'll start with calling up Alex Siemens. He has an announcement.
Good morning, church. I just have a quick announcement for the young adults in the room. Next week, Friday, on October 25th, we're going to have our next event. We'll be here at the church at 6:30 p.m. There won't be any bacon this time, unfortunately. But we are doing a wide game within the church, kind of like a scavenger hunt sort of thing. But I don't want to spoil too many details. So if you're a young adult between 18 and 25, be here next week, Friday, October 25th, 6:30 p.m. Awesome. Thank you.
I forgot to mention, if you are visiting, there is a welcome card in the pew in front of you. I expect to be a huge amount of these brought down to the Welcome Center or to the pastors. Fill it out, and we will give you something to remember us by today. Also, I'm going to call up Chris Wood for an announcement.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. Just one, and I hate to have to do this so quickly because it is such a big blessing, and especially fitting on today. But I'd like to ask Chris and Carla to come up, and Carrie and Stephanie as well, if you just pop up here for a quick minute. For those of us that aren't really that great at keeping track of all the special days during the year, this is definitely one that we like to try and remember. It's actually Pastor Appreciation today as well. So that being said, we are amazingly grateful for our pastors, and we realize that it's not just a single affair as well. That's why we've asked Carla and Stephanie to come up as well. So I'm just going to take the opportunity to give to our pastors and just ask you guys to join me in thanking our pastors again today.
Also, then, one last announcement. Stephanie would like to announce for the youth going to camp this next week that there is packing lists and information for camp this week down at the Welcome Center. So if you're going to Camp Evergreen, take a look at that as well. And with that, I will call the ushers up and we'll pray for the offering this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this another great day, and just we're so thankful for everything you provided for us, and just thankful for the good weather we've had, that the farmers will be able to get some of their crops off still, and just pray they continue to keep the farmers safe and keep the weather good, and that they'll be able to finish off the harvest for this year, Lord. Also this morning, I just want to praise your name for the news that I heard this morning for Jaden, daughter of Janelle Ratzlaff, that she is symptom-free of Lyme bacteria, and the bacteria is inactive for the last 6 months, and we just pray that it continues to be inactive. We just praise your name for that, Lord. This morning, Lord, I want to lift up Gladys Mammel, who is living at the Bethany in Cochrane. Just pray that that you use her there as she's a light for you there in that home, Lord. Also, Lord, I want to continue to pray for Irma Clausen as she is getting used to her new surroundings at St. Mary's in Trochu, and just be with her there and be with the family as they will be traveling to visit her with the weather getting bad, and just keep them safe on the road. And Lord, I just want to pray for Joyce Gates as she continues to adjust to her new life without Bill. Just be with her and surround her with loved ones and friends to keep her busy and occupied, Lord. And Lord, we continue to pray for Tyler Cox, and just pray for strength and healing as he fights an infection, and just pray that he uses this time to strengthen his relationship with you, Lord. And Lord, I want to lift up Caleb Thiessen as he is at the Peace River Bible College. Just pray that you be with him there in his studies as he learns about you, and just pray that he'll be a shining light for you on the campus there, Lord. And Lord, for those in the community and the seniors in the lodge and the home, just pray that you hear their unspoken needs, and just be with them in their place, Lord. I also want to just continue to pray for the teachers and students and volunteers as they continue on this school year. Just pray that you watch over them as they work with our kids and just be with them. And also, Lord, I want to just pray for the Canadian Conference of Mennonite Brethren Churches. Just pray that you guide them as they plant churches across Canada and they develop our leadership members, and just guide them and be with them as well. And Lord, we lift up Rebecca Hebert today as she is in Thailand, and just pray that you keep her safe there. She spreads your word to that country there, Lord, and just be with her. And I also want to lift up the two being baptized today. Just pray that you be with them as they make this covenant with the church, and as they continue, they'll be walking in this way they have chosen to serve you, Lord. And just pray that you be with them this morning as they give their testimony, and just pray for them in that, Lord. And I also want to lift up the offering to you this morning, that it'll go to the needs that the church designates, and just pray that it'll be blessed to meet those needs. In your name, amen.
Well, I'll call the kids up to the front. If you're in elementary school or younger, I invite you to come sit on the front here or on the floor in front of the pew. Well, kids, I want you to look up at the front there, and I want somebody to tell me why the display is gone and why there is a microphone poking into the opening over there. Here, I'm going to just... Yes, go ahead, right here. What's happening today?
The baptizing?
The baptizing is going to happen. And I know that Alicia has been baptized, so she knows what goes on. Can somebody tell me what baptism is? What happens? Alicia, because you've already done it, I'm going to pass you on you again. I know. Aubrey, you think you know? Okay.
God washes away all your sins.
That's what it means. That's very good. But let's just back up. Well, how does it happen? What are you going to see happen? What are you going to see happen? Yes. What are you going to see happen?
Someone getting dunked underwater.
Somebody getting dunked underwater. That's right. That's what happens. So why do we do that? Well, I have three reasons, and I'm just going to make my introduction to the baptism right here with you kids here. And I should say that it's all right with your mom and dad. You're welcome to stay up at the front here if you think you can see better what's going on. So there's three things. First of all, if you're a Christian, Jesus says that you should be baptized. So we do it because Jesus tells us we should. And the second thing is why we dunk the person in the water is because of what it shows. It shows that when you become a Christian, you put away the life that you once had, in which you lived for yourself and did my way, did my thing. And when you come out of the water, it shows coming into a new life in which we do what God wants. And we follow Jesus' way. And then the third thing is that it's just really good to say in front of everybody that I am a Christian. And we have two people, and they're going to do that. They're going to say, this faith, this Jesus belongs to me. It's not just the church I belong to or the family I belong to. It is mine. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And that's really important to do. All right, I want to pray for you all. And then we will hear these testimonies from these two people. So could you fold your hands and close your eyes and just be quiet? I'll pray. Dear Jesus, what an exciting day we have with these baptisms. And I pray that we would all be encouraged by this declaration of faith in you, because you are so good to us and you are worth it. And I thank you so much for the kids up at the front here. And pray that you would bless them and that they too would come to know you as their wonderful Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go back to your families. And if it's all right with your mom and dad, you're welcome to sit in the front seat here. Well, now I would like to call up Dylan Heidebrecht and Ethan Thiessen, and they are going to tell their testimonies to us. Okay, good. We're all good. Okay, Dylan, go ahead.
Am I using this?
Yep.
Hello, my name is Dylan Heidebrecht, and I am 14 years old. This is my confession of faith throughout my life so far. Growing up in a healthy, Christ-loving family, I became a Christian when I was very young. I don't remember the exact time I committed myself to Christ, for it was at a very young age. Having a wonderful family surrounding me, teaching me the right ways of life, they explained to me what it meant to become a Christian and how it affects me. For many years now, I have been determinedly trying my best to please God and live for God. One experience that has brought me closer to God would be one that happened in the summer of 2017. In early August, I was thrown from my horse, breaking both my wrists. I struggled considerably through the next 2 months I was in casts, but I found that after this traumatic experience, I noticed myself becoming closer to God. Now, I don't remember everything I'd said or did, but I found myself praying, praising, and talking to him more afterwards. A couple of my favorite verses that I find define and help me profoundly would be Philippians 4:13 and Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know these verses are quite famous, and I was kind of hoping to find a verse a little less known. Although, for a verse to have meaning to you is prominently more important than citing a verse no one's ever heard, in my opinion. Philippians 4:13 reads, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." This verse talks about how strong and persistent I can be when in Christ. Even in the turmoil of my crazy life, I can always turn to God, and he will direct my paths. Another reason this verse has so much meaning to me is because in February of 2018, I lost a very close friend of mine. Max might have only been a horse, a Shetland pony, in fact, but he was quite a bit more than that to me. Now, this verse didn't magically pop up after he died and reassure me, telling me everything was going to be all right and God was to the rescue. In fact, it wasn't until months after, when my mom gave me a cross statue with this verse on it, that I knew God was at work in my life. I displayed the cross beside a framed photo of Max, and then, and ever since, it has impacted me and given me a whole new meaning of the verse to my life. It has helped me become stronger. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." After the announcement here at church a few weeks ago about how there would be a baptism on Thanksgiving Sunday, I knew I wanted to do it. I talked about it with my parents, and when I got home, I was walking through the kitchen, and our tablet had been playing worship music for the morning, with verses popping up continuously on the screen. And at that instance, there was a verse splayed across the screen, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I read it in my mind and let it sink in, realizing that this was God's calling to me to get baptized. This verse was only the trailhead of the long but rewarding hike, and God was my trail guide, leading me not only to the top of the mountain, but on and into the rest of my life. I've been wanting to get baptized for a while now. My family had brought the thought of it into my mind, and I let myself evaluate what it meant for a while. I don't exactly remember when, but not too long ago, within the past year, I suddenly felt an immediate urge to get baptized. The thrilling idea became indispensable to me. I couldn't wait to have that opportunity, so I talked to my parents about it. To be completely honest, when I heard that there were a series of classes involved in getting baptized, I started to have second thoughts about it. I'm not a very social person, and confessing different aspects of my life to others isn't my favorite thing. I was nervous for people to see that I hadn't ever been baptized, and was afraid that I was somewhat alone in the youth world getting baptized. I also didn't know for sure if I wanted to make the commitment. I was way off track. At the news of this baptism happening today with three classes of preparation, I could feel it was right. I could feel God telling me this was it, this was my time. Even in my apprehensiveness, I made an effort to participate in this, and I'm genuinely grateful that I am. To wrap this all up, I am more than honored to be getting baptized today, and I'm overjoyed to fully be a part of this church family because everyone here is truly amazing. Even though God uses painful, amazing, and deep situations to strengthen my and everyone's souls, it is all a part of his mighty, magnificent plan, and this baptism is just one milestone in my upcoming roller coaster ride of a life. Thank you for this opportunity to share my story of faith and to get baptized.
Hi, my name is Ethan Thiessen, and this is my testimony. I've been blessed to grow up in a Christian home my whole life, and I gave my life to Jesus when I was 3 years old. I think I've always thought of my faith as my own, but I have had my doubts and questions about Jesus. When I was in grade 6, I had a friend group of myself and three other guys. They were great friends, and I would hang out with them almost every day until one of them had to move away. Then, a couple months later, another one of them moved away, then another one, leaving me as the last one in that friend group left here in Linden. That was really hard for me, and this is when I started having doubts about if Jesus was actually real and if he loved me or not. I also had a lot of questions. Throughout the next year, my parents got me and my brothers to do a lot of devotions to help answer my questions, which it did, but I still had doubts. These doubts continued for the next year until the summer of 2018, when I went to the Pit Crew program at Camp Evergreen. It was an extended worship night, and I was just singing along to the songs until the song, "Lord, I Need You," was being played. And I just felt a warmth rush over me, and I knew that it was Jesus Christ telling me that he is here with me, and all my doubts were taken away. But my story doesn't just end there. God has done so much for me throughout my life. He has provided me with a loving family that shine the light of God day by day. He has given me shelter in the safety of my home here in Linden. He gave me friends who are very supportive, great people who love the Lord. And I feel Jesus' presence wherever I go every day of my life, which I think is so cool. I have decided to get baptized because I want to take that next step in my faith. I want people to know that I have been saved, that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and now that I am forgiven and that I am a part of the body of Christ. My grandpa showed me the verse 1 John 1, verse 9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I like this verse because it tells us that no matter what, if we repent, then we will be forgiven. No matter what. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
So while they're getting changed, I invite you to sit or to stand and sing with us. And I'm really excited you guys are up in the front because I need some fist bumping and some haze for this song. Do you guys think you can do it? All right.
Dylan Heidebrecht, do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and are you willing to follow him in the fellowship of the church?
I do.
Then in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. Ethan Thiessen, do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and are you willing to follow him in the fellowship of the church?
I do.
Then in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Thank you.
Well, Dylan and Ethan, we invite you up to the front here. And we want to officially welcome you into our church family here. We have cards made up as a reminder of what happened this day. And after I hand you the cards, we will have everyone stand and we will pray for you. And so, Dylan, we welcome you. We are so glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
And Ethan, we welcome you. We are so glad to have you with us. And now would you stand with me as we bring these two in through prayer. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to hear the testimonies of these two young people who love you so much, and we love you, and what a joy it is to have them declare their faith in you. And Lord, I just pray that this would be a great thing for them all their days. They have many years ahead of them, and there's much to learn about what you have. And so I pray that day by day and year by year, their confidence would grow, that you are a great God and a good Lord and someone worthy of our praises and our life. Because you know exactly what we need, and you have a great purpose for us, and you have a great purpose for Ethan and for Dylan. And so just bless them again and again and again. How we love them, and you love them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated.
You'll notice on your bulletin that the church secretary put down verses 1, 2, 11? That's wrong. It's hard to get good help nowadays. So we're at 1 Peter 7 to 11, chapter 4. I'm reading from the Message, so no need taking up your pew Bible. Just listen. It's good. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. So take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless. Cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, then let it be God's words. If help, then let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and He'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. Encores to the end of time. Oh yeah.
Thanks, Bruce. Kids, if you do want to go back to your families, you're welcome to, or you can stay up at the front here. All right, good. Well, those testimonies, aren't those amazing? From a 15 and 16-year-old? Pretty inspiring. Great message all in themselves. So thank you, Dylan and Ethan, for putting so much time into that. I just was really moved by the things you had to say. Well, we are speaking on 1 Peter, and early on in the letter, Peter says kind of a key verse for this whole letter. In chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." And in this way, Peter declares that not only are we saved from our sin, but we are saved to a great purpose. God has something in mind for us to do and to do together. Peter then takes on the obvious question that if we are this chosen people and have a high calling, well, those early Christians would immediately ask, what about the person who is the bondservant caught in a Roman household under a human master with seemingly very little room to maneuver in order to carry out this great purpose? And Peter takes that on right away, and he says that the thing changes for the bondservant too. Now the bondservant does his very best, and he does what is good, not because the master requires it, but because he himself, as a Christian, requires it of himself as someone who is now following Jesus. And in verse 15 of that chapter 2, we have this remarkable kind of statement where Peter is saying that the bondservant now becomes, in effect, the teacher and the leader. And he needs to show the human master how Christians do things around here. The bondservant leads and the master follows. He says, oh, that's what a Christian is. So it is then that in 1 Peter we are being told that how we live matters immensely. And if you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just as Dylan and Ethan just now did, then you are in the position of being called upon by God to show your family and your neighbors and the people in your job site and all those around you how Christians do things around here, because they do it differently. When we come to our chapter here in chapter 4, that's why it says things like this, and hear from the Message, you've already put in your time in that God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken and profligate life. Now it's time to be done with it for good. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore, but you don't have to give an account to them. So it is that we don't belong to the old gang anymore. We belong to a new gang. And that gang does things differently. And it shows people how it is that the Christian lives. We do things differently. Then we come to the end of 1 Peter chapter 4 there, and another really key verse, verse 11, which says, if words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, on course to the end of time. Oh, yes. That is the Christian life, that whatever we do, what we say, what we cook, what we do in our workplace, whatever it is, that these things are for God's glory. And we do them in such a way that people look at it and say, wow, that's different. Who are you? And we say, I'm a Christian. And my life is for God's praise. I went searching for some good examples of how this is done today. And I find it inspiring, and I think that other people do, when Christians who are in high-profile places show that they are a Christian by their life. And I just had some examples here. The first one here, this is after an NFL football game, and you can see that there are two teams there. And it is their practice after the game to meet in the middle of the football field and pray together. Well, for someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, this makes no sense at all. They are on opposite teams. They are supposed to hate each other. How can they really compete at their highest level if afterwards they are going to gather together and be friends? Well, do they compete? Well, Clint Taves, is that Megatron number 81 in the blue there? So Calvin Johnson, known as Megatron, for several years was the most dominating wide receiver in the whole NFL. So big, so strong, so fast that nobody could cover him. You just threw him the ball and he always caught it. So obviously he was competing out there. And yet, at the end of the game, he gets together with his hand on Hakeem Nicks, the wide receiver from the other team, and they together show who their true Lord is and who their true brothers are. They're doing it right there. Here's another one. American politics is fascinating to the whole world, and people follow every day what's going on in Washington, D.C., because that controls the United States, or so they think. And the United States is this huge country with influence all around the world. And every day something dramatic happens, and every day Donald Trump sends out a tweet that inflames the whole situation. Well, on Wednesday morning at 8:30, there is a prayer meeting, one for the senators and one for the representatives of the House. And in the Senate prayer meeting, a quarter of all senators attend, some from each party. No staff are allowed in there, no journalists, only the senators and their chaplain. And they eat together, and then they sing a hymn. They share prayer requests back and forth, and then they take turns telling a faith story, first one from the Democrats and then one from the Republicans. And they say that it is the only place, in Washington, D.C., where the two parties come together socially. And one senator said it is also the only event where they actually listen to what the other person has to say. Another senator said, if you hold hands with someone in prayer in the morning, it's tough for that someone to throw a punch at you in the afternoon. And in this thing, friendships are forming, and they say that these rare, but sometimes they occur, bipartisan bills where both parties come together and say, this is what the United States needs. It comes out of the friendships formed in this Wednesday morning Bible study that happens every Wednesday. Again, for those on the outside who do not name Jesus Christ as Lord, this is madness. What are they doing? They're supposed to hate each other. and, not surprising, the Atheist Freedom from Religion Foundation is suing the chaplain right now because he needs to know what they're cooking up behind closed doors and there when they're eating breakfast, praying for each other, telling faith stories. And the third one I thought of is I've told the story about Theresa May, who's very open about her faith, and she recently was Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, probably the most losingest Prime Minister ever. She put forward bills, and they lost by hundreds of votes, but nobody else could think of how to do it better, so she just kept being Prime Minister. It just was easier to abuse the Prime Minister than to actually be one. And so Theresa May tried again and again to get that country through their crisis of how to get out of the European Union. Well, she called a general election for June the 8th, 2017. It was a big mistake. She lost her majority and lost again. And so then here's a picture of the very next day. And I think that she planned that election for Saturday so she could go to church on Sunday and hear something from the Word of God. And that's her husband, Philip, beside her. She just has a poise that really comes out of her faith. And she says to all of us, whether you are a parliamentarian or a constituent, all of you continue to engage as Christians in public life for the common good of all. She believed it, and that's a good message for all of us. We have a purpose. We are this chosen race, this royal priesthood, this holy nation. And whether you are the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, whether you are a senator in Washington, D.C., or the world's greatest wide receiver in the NFL, or you are a bondservant, or you are you, God has a purpose for you. And people are watching, and we need to set ourselves up in the position of teaching people what it means to follow Jesus and to live in that way. Well, what is something that we can do in order to show the world that we are a different sort of people? I picked another book, Philippians 2. So this is the Apostle Paul now. And in Philippians 2, verses 14 to 15, in verse 14, he says, you should do this. And then he says, if you were to do that thing, this is what the result is, that you may be holy and blameless, children of light without blemish in a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So that thing in verse 14 is pretty important. Let me give it to you in the message again, just in a different way. Rats, I gave it away and I didn't have the message. Can we just back it up? I know what I did. I wrote it down in my script here. It says, Go into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in the squalid and polluted society, people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God, carry the light-giving message into the night. And so that thing in verse 14, it sounds pretty big. You know, what is it? End world poverty, stop climate change, fight all oppression, sell what we have, write a book, move mountains, preach to thousands. Is that what it is in verse 14 that makes us shine as lights in the world? It is. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. And giving this is a Thanksgiving day, this is the right message for us now, that we are different even when we just do this little thing, little, not complain and not grumble, and be thankful in spirit and heart in all things. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus our Lord, that you give thanks in all circumstances. And if you do that thing, that little thing, not grumble, not complain, Paul thinks, and he's right, it is God's word, that you shine as lights in the world. Well, I'm very thankful for this church family. And it is my pleasure to see probably better than anyone else just the way it works together and be part of so many different things. And it is wonderful how people serve one another in love. And we had that verse read from verse 10, that as God has given each a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That's right there in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. And I see it, and I'm thankful. So we've put together a video again just of the last 12 months of the many things that have happened in this church. I just want to say thank you to Bruce Erickson, who took many of the pictures. I think you told me not to say this, right? Yeah, anyway, I am thankful. Many people sent pictures, and Bruce just did a really good job of keeping track of the things that were happening.
Would you stand with me? Oh, Lord. again. We hope you'll join us downstairs for this meal, and you are dismissed.